Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, the fourth Mishnah of the third Perek, and as promised, it is a famous and seminal Mishnah about Mishpatei HaTnaim, the laws of Tnaim. Rameir Omer, Kol Tnai She'enu Kitnai B'nei Gad Uvnei Reuven. Rameir says that any condition that does not follow the model of the condition made by the Gadites and the Reubenites in Bamidbar Lamed Bet about their desire to be given the east bank of the Jordan, Eino Tnai, is not a valid condition. Shenemar, now the Shenemar doesn't prove that that's the model for Tnai. The Shenemar just proves that what the nature of their Tnai. Vayomar lehem, Moshe said to them, Im yavru v'nei gad uv'nei Reuven, if they cross over, then they get the, and fight with the, as the chalutzim, as the frontline soldiers with the people conquering the West Bank, then they get the East Bank. Uchtivim lo yavru chalutzim, and if they don't pass over, then they have to inherit with you in Canaan. Alright, so Rameir says, therefore you see that miklal hein iatashame alav. You cannot infer the negation from the affirmation. So just because Moshe said, if they cross over, they get the East Bank, doesn't prove that if they don't cross over, they don't get it. And therefore, whenever you make a condition, you're married to me, if I give you 200 zuz, you also have to say, and if I don't give you 200 zuz, you're not married to me. Otherwise, that implication is not there. Chanim Gamliel Omer, he disagrees, says, Tzaricha Davar Laomro. Moshe had to say the other side. Why? Sheomalei Kain, if he didn't say it, Heshpamashma Shafilu Be'eretz Kanan Lain Chalu. The implication would be that they don't even get land in Canaan, they get no land at all. Alright, and the rest of the Gemara will be devoted really chiefly to the dispute between Rameir and Rechamim Gamliel about whether or not you can infer a negation from an affirmation. Alright, Shapar Kamala Rechamim Gamliel Rameir, after Rechamim Gamliel had the last voice in the Mishnah, so what's Rameir's response? Rameir is what he said, if you think that Moshe Rabbeinu's negation is not there to teach you Tanai Kofel, a doubled Tanai, all he had to say was, if they don't cross over, then they stay with you. Be'eretz Kanan Lamali, why did he have to say Be'eretz Kanan, that they'll stay with you in Eretz Kanan? After all, where is the rest of Bnei Yisrael going to be? In Eretz Kanan. So if Moshe Rabbeinu says, if they don't cross over, then they inherit with you, that means in Canaan. Why add Canaan? For Tanai Kofel. Rabbi Gamliel, what would he answer? That means that they would stay with you in the small area of Gilad that belonged to Menashe, Eretz Canaan Klalo. They wouldn't get the West Bank at all, and they would stay in the little bit that they got on the East Bank, but they wouldn't have a full inheritance there either. That's what I would think. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say Eretz Canaan. Rab Meir, what's his answer? Betochachem means kol hechadi lochumashma. Betochachem means wherever you are, among you. So therefore, Betochachem would have been enough to tell you that they would be on the West Bank. Why did I have to say Be'eretz Kanan? To teach you Tanai Kaful. Now, we continue with a bright Tan Mechan Megamliel, Mashal, Lamad Davar Domeh. And like Rashi points out, Mashal of Moshe, meaning Moshe's condition was kind of like the following. Adam Shem Mechalek Nechasal Vanav, a man was giving out his property to his children, besides the Yerusha, Amar Ploni Bnei Yerash Sadeh Ploni. He says, this son gets Sadeh X. Ploni Bnei Yerash Sadeh Ploni. Then this son gets field Y. Ploni Bnei Yitin Matayim Zuz Yerash Sadeh Ploni. And this son pays 200 zuz and gets field Z. Himlo Yitin Yerash Shemachav Kishar Nechabashar Nechasim. And if he doesn't pay, then he inherits with his brothers the rest of the property, but he has no chelik in those two fields. Now, mi garam lo Rashi machab b'shar nechasim, what is it that gave him that put him down to the position where he just inherits with his brothers? Kfelo garam lo, it's because his father said the double condition. Meaning, had the father said nothing, then we would think that he gets nothing. V'halo dami mashal manitin. But Ruchanim Gamliel's mashal is not like his statement in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, he said that Moshe didn't say Eretz Canaan, I would have thought they don't even get land there. Alma kfeila le'eretz gilad nami mahani. That the doubling is there to also support the idea that they got land in Gilad. Shar nechasim is a reference to Canaan. Kfeila garamlo. So the doubling amakfelo the shar nechasim hudu kamahani. All right, so it's there for that purpose to help him at least get something. So the answer is Lokasha. I'm coming to name Aleir Meir Nachazu. How the Vatad name Aleir Meir Nachazu? The first statement was before Meir gave the answer of Nachazu. But after he gave the answer, then he said, "Okay, without the kefel, he would think they got nothing." Okay, now Bishlamal Reb Meir Hainu Nichtiv. We find other texts that seem to support Reb Meir. Nichtivim Tativ Se'et. God says to Cain, "If you do well, you can carry yourself, and you won't be sinful." And if you don't do well, then sin will come after you, implying that you cannot infer the negation from the affirmation. According to Chanun, his theory, why does it say that? The answer is because he says as follows: if you do well, then there's a schar. If you don't do well, then lo agra v'lo dina. There's no reward, there's no punishment. In other words, you do well, you get a reward. You don't do well, you get nothing. Kamash v'lan. Therefore, it teaches us know that if you don't do well, there's a punishment. That's why Hashem Avram says to his slave that if the girl agrees to come, you come with her, and if your girl refuses to come, then you're off the hook. Because he had to say both sides. What do you have to say it for? After all, you could infer, according to Rachamim Gamliel, that if the girl agrees to come, it's good. And if the girl doesn't agree to come, the oath is off. The answer is, Avram had to cover a case where if she wants to come, but they don't want to let her go, maybe he could grab her against their will, her family's will. So kamash malan, therefore it says, im lo yitnu lach, if they don't give her to you. Now, im lo tovei aisha l'amali, how come earlier on? That was in the slave's repetition of the story. But in the original narrative, what did Avram say? If she doesn't want to go, why add that? It talks like, men ha'echad d'nechal lahu l'didhu, v'nechal al l'didah naitib al korcha. If they're happy, but she isn't interested, maybe grab her against her will. Kamash malan, that both her family and she have to be willing. Alright. In the bracha given at Har Sinai and the Kala, Hashem says, if you follow my laws, all these great brachot. And if you reject my laws, then all these terrible kolot. I understand why they say both. According to him, what do you need both for? Just like I would with Cain. I would think that if you follow the laws, you have a bracha. And if you reject the laws, then there's nothing. Kamash v'lan, that there's a curse. In the first chapter of Yeshayahu, the Navi says, if you listen, then you'll eat the good of the land. And if you reject, then you're going to be eaten by the sword. And we come Leah Lamali. So the same answer talks on Amen. I might think that if you listen to God, you'll get a bracha. If you don't listen, you'll have nothing. In either way. Kamash Malan, that there's a curse. Now, parenthetically, my cherev tuklu. What does the text say? You will be eaten by the sword. What is that? Rava milcha glalnita. It's a particular kind of very thick salt. Nama isari. And it's referring to the kind of foods that you'll end up eating that'll be like swords inside your body. Barley bread, akusha uvatsli, and different kinds of vegetables that you're going to have to eat, onions, tamar, pat porani chareva melach uvitsalim. This kind of food, hard bread, with salt and with onions, kashim lagufka charvot. They hurt the body like swords going in. So that's in cherev tuklu. Doesn't mean you'll be hurt by the sword. It means you're going to end up eating food that will be harmful to your insides. All right, Bishlam Chamin Gamliel. Now we've got one proof from Chamin Gamliel. The Kohen, when he administers the oath to the Sota, only administers one side, which is, if you didn't have relations, then you'll be cleansed. And he doesn't say, and if you did have relations, you'll die. Or Meir, it should also say, and if you are guilty, then you will die. He said, Hinkiktiv. In other words, the way that it's written, we could read it both ways. This is sort of a Galilean read on it where they would confuse the Hayes and the Chetz. Be cleansed and be choked. So both possibilities are in the oath. Alright. Bismar Rameir Hanu Nichtiv Hinaki. So now I end according to Rameir White says Hinki. Ben Gamliel Amali. So according to him, what do you need it for? Sarzalamenim lo shachav ish Hinaki. Vim shachav lo hinki velo hinki. Ali Sorba Alma. I might think that if you aren't guilty, you'll be cleansed. And if you are guilty, you won't be cleansed, but you won't die. You just value out an Iser, Kamash Falan, that you're going to die. That's, of course, very difficult, considering the whole context of Sota is the result. There's other paraduma. If you do the sprinkling on the third and seventh day, you're tahor. And if you don't, you're not tahor. So that's clearly, I'm not willing to infer from the affirmation the negation. So it's not exactly, maybe the mitzvah is the third and seventh day. Maybe if you did one of them, third or the seventh, it's enough. Kamash Malan, no, that you have to do the third and seventh, and it's market. Alright, so then, why does it say earlier on, why does it have to say that again? That you have to sprinkle on the third and seventh day? I might think that Shlishi is to say you can't do it earlier, it can't be the second day or first. Shvi limuti shishi, and the seventh day is to say you can't do it on the sixth. Why? The kama might be made tahara. You're diminishing the amount of tahara. Hechad over the shlishi was shmini, but if you did it on the third and the eighth day, the kama mafish made tahara. You're extending the made tahara. Ema shapir dami. I think that's good. So kamash flan Torah says third and seventh. Chito be mashvi lamali. So then, why does it say and he becomes cleansed, which is mikvah on the seventh day? I might think that the demand of the third and seventh day, and specifically on those days and everything, is only for kodshim. In other words, for him to be able to be tahor, eat kodshim. Of all the truma, v'chad nami kasagya, maybe for eating truma, we have less of a demand, and as long as he does one of these things, the third or the seventh, it's enough. Kamashvalan, therefore the Torah repeats it to say that even for that, for truma, you need both. Okay, we'll pick up Yirtzeh Hashem in the next podcast on Daf Samach Bet Amud Aleph with the fifth Mishnah, and we'll be dealing with various nuances of Gemirut Daat in Kiddushin. Everybody should have a wonderful day.